You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
Yep.
Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York.
Yep.
The ESPN New York app.
Yep.
Or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
One pick in the NHL draft, but the man that can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars
Eller! Every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is drop time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, wakey, wakey, eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
I'm Rick DiPietro.
You look delicious right now.
I would eat myself if I could.
Oh, I bet you would. My co-host, Dan Grasso.
Will
you relax? Our amazing producers. How about our fearless leader, RJ Santillo?
RJ, you have a thing?
I don't have a thing.
Oh, you got a thing. And how about the very, very handsome, hardworking, sometimes polarizing Raymond Santiago.
On this horse carriage, we fight for that edge.
You go protect those horses, Pacino. Big shout out to the companies. Thank you for getting up with us on this Thursday morning. We are DNR, the R&R boys.
Canton, Ohio. Is it Tom Benson Stadium or did they rename it? I think it's still Tom Benson Stadium. I know they added a lot of seats.
I love when you ask yourself questions. They did add a lot of seats. Call us what you want. Don't ever call us lazy. You can hear us every weekday morning, 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call, you guys know it, 1-800-919-3776.
Red flag. Red flag. Oh, she wants to smash.
Oh, we're going to smash today. We have an unbelievable show planned for you today.
I got some titillating news for you, my friend.
Right.
Yep, great show right in the, yeah, you know what. The Knicks took care of business up in Toronto. Ducey went wild in the first quarter. Mitchell Robinson is back, and the Knicks are a half game up on Cleveland for third in the East. Yankees will open up their season today in Houston. Nestor will get the ball. They also answered Dan's three catcher question with a move that they made to solidify the infield. Mets won't play because Dan doesn't believe in retractable roofs. We got the West Coast open, hopefully at 9. We got stuff he missed at 9:15. Everyone's favorite station ID. Dan will slip it in at 8. And as always on Thursday at 7:45, we have an observation that did happen in Florida. But before we get to all of that, let me take a minute to recognize how lucky I am to have the great Dan Grasso hosting with me this week. Not only is he the voice of the New York Jets pre and post game, my Major League Baseball picks teammate, a man that dabbles in hoarding, or as he calls it, collecting, a once 10-year-old little leaguer that shook off a nasty stinger to brave the elements. Some would call the Ann Leibovitz of parking spot photography. Oh, no. Dan Grasso is not even just one man. He's Cookie Monster.
Me think they're too hot to be at Sesame Place all day.
He's Elmo.
Elmo don't want to pay $7 for water. That's too much money.
Sometimes he's French.
Sacre bleu.
Sometimes he's Russian.
You want to go to woods? Do you want to go for a drive? Bring overcoat. Bit nipply outside.
Sometimes he's even Australian.
Bring me trumpet, play the song.
Occasionally he's inappropriate.
Oh me, somebody's in the loo. Better see who it is.
There's times he's not even a human.
Yeah, this message is for Rick. Hey, Rick, how you doing? This is a worm.
The versatility to go from a worm to even an NFL head coach.
Tour, listen, this how here y'all want to do it.
A former NFL football player.
I'm hearing a lot of stuff that the Falcons are going heavy after Belichick.
Thanks, Gronk. And my favorite, a country music star.
Colbert, Big Toe, yee-haw.
Here he is, I think, Dan Grasso?
I don't know what to say after that wonderful introduction, but I love the Thursday Open. It is the one thing I look forward to more than anything else on Thursday.
It was an ode to Dan Grasso.
It really was. What did I do
teammate.
To deserve that, by the way?
You're my teammate.
That's right. That is right, baby.
Teammate. Yeah, nice enough to fill in.
Brother in life. All those things.
All sorts of associates all over the country.
Associates, absolutely. Got to have them. Where would we be without them?
You got your beautiful Robert Saleh sideline edition hoodie.
You know what's funny? I walked in this morning and RJ said exactly the same exact thing. He's like, whoa, you're looking like Rob Saleh this morning. I said, I didn't intentionally put it together, but I guess so. The black on black, yeah, a little bit.
Dye the beard a little bit. You'll dead ringer.
just a little bit there, Bob? What do you think? Just a
little
bit?
I don't like him with the beard. I like him clean shaven.
Who, Rob Saleh?
Saleh.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I like him clean shaven.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's what are we, in March? It's March. You know, it's not season yet.
No, he's a handsome guy, though.
Well, maybe he's trying to go in disguise, a little incognito, given the wins and losses record. I don't know.
He did say, yeah, less noise, right?
Less noise,
too much noise,
baby.
Which is not a bad thing. I love how I sent something to the group chat last night.
Yeah.
And instantly, not what I heard from my associates.
Well, it's proven to be corroborated on several fronts, right? So I was correct.
Yeah,
I wouldn't lead
you
astray.
I think I now know who your associate is.
Who do you think the associate is?
I
have many associates.
I'm not
going to
out your associate.
That's true. You can't.
I don't want to do that.
But I would, like I said, I wouldn't confirm it or deny it either. But it's just noise. It's noise. It's all it is.
Well, I understand it's noise.
How are you, by the way? I mean, I know the Thursday Open was great. You knocked it out of the park as usual. But other than the Thursday Open, how are you feeling this morning? You feeling good? Because this is our last day together for the week.
I got to tell you this.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm a little sad.
Why?
And I'm also, because it's our last day together.
Okay.
I'm also a little frustrated with you.
Why?
Because you put me in a spot yesterday when you asked me the show that I was watching with the kids.
Oh.
But you said show, and it drove me crazy. So I asked my wife, I asked my kids, I said, what show? And they gave me the list of shows that we watch. None of the shows made any sense. And then out of nowhere, you're like, Eureka, I got it. Teenage crackheads.
That was it.
We weren't. I said to my wife, because like an idiot, I'm like, did I watch a show called Teenage Crackheads with the kids? Because that doesn't sound like a show that we would watch. She's like, no, you idiot. And my daughter's like, no, Dad, it was the Teenage Kraken.
The Kraken is a mythological sea monster.
And it was a movie, so you had me in the whole wrong headspace.
What's the difference? Whether it's a show, whether it's a movie, it's a moving picture with voices, they talk. Does that matter? Do I need to specify?
Yes. We talked about this yesterday.
Is that because the 18 concussions?
Yes. And in my mind, I'm having some real brain issues, and I was like, oh my God, how do I not remember this?
Do you know how I came upon it, by the way? And it really could have been solved a lot earlier than it did, because yesterday after the show, now we did the communal kind of breakfast yesterday. Post show with Ray and RJ. You didn't want any part of it because you're too good.
No, I have practices. Yes, I'm sorry.
You're too good for the meal. And so, but they have this fakakta like producer meeting on, what was it, on Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Right, RJ? Is it Wednesdays?
It's usually our show meeting because
Tuesdays is the producers usually.
No, it's the producers for the entire channel, like not just the show. But so John was spearheading that, and that happens right at 10 o'clock, right when the show is over. So I had to sit around and wait for them to be done with the meeting so then we could all go out and break bread and do the whole thing. So I'm sitting there racking my brain. I'm trying to remember what the hell's the name of the damn show, whatever. 20 minutes into this, and I'm just hanging around, and I thought to myself, I said, you know what? Let me go back and check my phone and check our text chain, you and I, and maybe, just maybe, somewhere in the past that this show might have been typed out in a text. And lo and behold, what did I see? You, my friend, actually put it out there in one of our texts from like last summer, the name of the show, and that's how I stumbled upon it.
So you cheated.
No, I didn't cheat. I mean, you provided
cheating.
The answer. We got
that's
it.
Cheating. That's cheating. I'm racking my brain. I'm searching. I'm asking the kids, peppering the question. Maybe you're just smarter than me. It was probably the right way to go. It was just check our text message chain. Smart guy you are.
So you didn't have to ask your wife. I was asking my wife. I was like, do you remember a show that we were talking about something with kids and it sounded like it was drug related like last summer, and she couldn't remember it. She knew of the fact that we were having some fun with it, but she couldn't remember the exact name.
Yeah, it didn't sound like when you texted me that. I was like, am I a bad parent? Would I ever have my kids sit down with dad and watch Teenage Crackheads? Probably not.
I'm sitting there Googling yesterday, like trying to pass the time during the producers meeting, like children's television shows, and just to see if something like rang a bell. Nothing. And that's why, because it wasn't a television show. It was a movie.
All right. So this is your fault. And we move on. Now we know it was the Teenage Kraken.
But we at least got the answer, and now we can go on with the rest of our lives, which is great. I agree. But, you know, it's a big weight off my shoulders. It was going to bother me probably till the end of time if I didn't figure out that name. So I'm glad that it did. Mystery solved. Now, I said this to RJ and Ray
before the show. I want to get your take on this. Today's opening day, right? Technically, it's opening day. In the continental United States, it is opening day. Mets get rained out. Smart they do it early. Yankees are down in Houston. I don't know what it is. Maybe you can put your finger on it. It feels like the most unopening day opening day that I can remember in quite some time.
Wow. I would probably agree with you.
But why do you think that is?
Well, I think part of it is we have a couple teams right now that have most of our attention, right? Knicks are, I mentioned in the Thursday open, Knicks are half game up on Cleveland for third, starting to get healthy. Mitchell Robinson being back is a huge deal for us. Ducey went wild. And then there's the Rangers. The Rangers are fighting for the President's Trophy right now. That's how good they're playing. So, you have those two teams right now to kind of keep you busy. And on top of that, not nearly as much excitement for this Mets season because they've kind of done their best to not set expectations too high, right? I think the signing of J.D. Martinez got us a little excited. And now we have, because, God forbid, we do the retractable roof because you hate it. We have no game today. And then I think some of the Yankee stuff with Gerrit Cole going down was a big deal for a lot of Yankees fans. I think there's probably some nervous energy from the Yankees fans. Judge already being banged up in spring training. DJ LeMahieu starting the season on the IL. So there's, I don't know. I can't tell you exactly why it doesn't feel like there's that much excitement, but I think that's probably a couple of the reasons.
Now, does the rain out today postponing the Mets opening day, does that give J.D. Martinez enough time to get there for opening day?
I would love that.
Get a few extra cuts there in the batting cage, and he's going to be fit and ready to go to be out there with the rest of the team at Citi Field and be introduced and run out on the first baseline? I guess not. But not, I don't know what it is, man. Like, opening day was always just, the slate is clean, spring is here, hopefully the weather's getting a little bit better. You have all this optimism. But, yeah, the weather stinks today. It's dreary, it's rainy, it's crappy. The Yankees are on the road. You're not going to have a baseball game in New York. I don't know what it is. It's just, look, I'll be all over it starting, tomorrow when we see the Mets play and even later today when the Yankees are on. But I don't know. I got to get worked up for a little bit here. There's other things that are on my plate right now that I'm more into than the start of opening day.
Right, and I think that's a bigger problem with baseball that we can talk about at some point.
I'm more geeked up about the Sweet 16 tonight, the return of the NCAA tournament, than I am opening day.
Well, how much do you think that is just your expectations as a fan right now? Like, you have other teams that you root for that you have real high expectations for right now.
How about this? I'm probably more excited that baseball as a whole is back, that I know I have a game every day, whether it's some team playing in the league, right? Because I love baseball, and I cover the sport. I'm more probably geeked up over that than I am that, in particular, let's say Mets or Yankees are back, necessarily. Just the fact that it's baseball season.
Right, but I think there would be more. For me, I'm a Mets fan. So, I don't know if there's a lack of excitement. I love baseball. I'm getting ramped up for the kids' baseball. We start a week away from our opening day. But I don't know. I think it's partly just the expectations for our season coming off a really bad season where we had high hopes. Right? This is kind of what they did to us. Would we like to be a wild card team? Yeah, we'd like to be a wild card team. But if we're not, it's a chance for David Stern to kind of assess what we have. We have a plan that seems like a lot of the Mets fans have bought into. And then we'll go back to spending money once all this, dead money comes off of our payroll. We'll go out next year in free agency or this upcoming free agency and spend. And then we'll be back trying to compete, to win a division and hopefully win a championship. But I think that's why some of my excitement for opening day isn't there. And I think the Yankees, kind of the same thing. I think the Yankees, this is an all-in season. That's what Hal told us, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's a percentage of Yankees fans that don't feel like they actually went all-in, right? They made a big move to get Juan Soto. They bring in Marcus Stroman. They were feeling around with Blake Snell, but I think they feel like there could have been more done, especially when Gerrit Cole goes down. I think there's a lot of Yankees fans that feel like with the uncertainty surrounding Gerrit Cole that they're probably a starting pitcher light, and they didn't address that. And I think it's probably that anxiety as to what the season is going to actually be, because you have some people that are, paid to predict the outcome of the Major League Baseball season that think the Yankees have a really good chance to win the AL East. And then you got Baseball Reference that says they're going to stink. So, you don't really know. I'm probably more on the side that they're going to be offensively, they'll be good enough to deal with missing Gerrit Cole for a couple months. But that would scare the hell out of me, that I don't know what Gerrit Cole is going to be if and when he comes back.
100%. From superchargers, exhaust kits, and more, eBay Motors has over 122 million parts to keep your ride or die alive. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to bring home that win. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. The Mets and the Yankees, you know the two things that they have going for them, potentially, in the early portion of this baseball season? You know what those two things are?
What are those two things? They have, I don't know, answer the question for me.
The Knicks and the Rangers.
Yeah, I was going to say that.
Right, because if they get off to a bad start, either one of these teams or maybe even both, and we're sitting there, you know, mid-May, we may not even be giving them the full slate of attention or all the complaining and all the criticism and whatever venom that the fans are going to direct in their direction. They may not even feel the full brunt because we're just consumed with a deep Knicks-Rangers playoff run, which legitimately could happen. Let's face it.
Yeah, but let's be honest, though. I mean, what are the chances that there's any vitriol towards the Mets early in the season with where the expectations have been set?
Everything that we heard in the offseason from the fans, that why aren't they spending more money, that camp. Why isn't Steve Cohen's the richest owner in baseball? Why doesn't he spend more money? Why don't you be more active? Why weren't you in on Snell? Why weren't you in on Montgomery? If the Met rotation that they pieced together largely on one-year deals, if they spit the bit and they got like a staff ERA of 8 over the first 6 weeks of the season, that's what you're going to hear.
I understand that, but I mean, I think when you have two opposite ends of the spectrum, though. You have the Mets that pretty much said, yeah, we'll try to compete for a wild card, but you know, who knows how this thing is going to turn out after a 75-win season. And then you have the Yankees, this is unacceptable, 82-80, that's not who we are, we're all in. And we only have Juan Soto for guaranteed this year.
Right.
So they're going to have people more, they'll be more frustrated Yankees fans than there will be Mets fans if these teams get off to slow starts. One team has really no expectations, and the other team has World Series expectations.
But I think for a fan, there's always going to be some sort of expectation. You know, like I think that there's going to be a good enough amount of Met fans who feel that this team, if everything breaks right, they could be a wild card
contender.
Yeah,
but listen to what you just said, though. If everything breaks right, if you're smart, if you take a step back and take off your, you know, take your Mets fandom out of it for a second. Mm-hmm. Those, and I'm talking about the optimistic fans that will call and yell at us because we're pointing out things that could go wrong. Why do you got to be so negative? Those fans, if they took a step back and looked at, we'll say the rotation, because that's the biggest concern with this team is the rotation. Mm-hmm. What are your real expectations for this rotation, especially without Kodai Senga in it?
Well, I don't think it's unrealistic for the Mets. And here's, see, I break down in small goals with the Mets. And I know we got to get a break and we'll get some calls up at 800-919-3776. The expectation for the Mets to me, be relevant at the trade deadline. That's the small goal. Don't tell me about October yet. Get me to the end of July, 500 in the mix, because I'm going to keep saying this, and I'm going to keep pounding this drum all year. If this team is mathematically, I don't want to say mathematically, but if they're like a 500 team and in the mix for a wild card at the deadline, I believe Steve Cohen, David Stearns will green light being active buyers at the trade deadline to try to go make a move and to try to get a playoff spot.
All right. So as we go to break, because you just love destroying the clock,
right?
Is that actually in the Mets' best interest to be relevant?
Why not?
Well, I don't know. Are you going to sign? Tell me.
Doesn't matter. They're still going to go out there and spend wildly, I think, in the offseason anyway.
Well, are you going to sign Pete Alonso or not?
Pete Alonso or Juan Soto. You're not getting them both.
Okay. But so that's the question. So if they're relevant and they decide to go all in, and let's just say they don't finish in a wild card spot and you haven't traded Pete Alonso and you're losing for nothing, mm-hmm. I mean, is that good?
It's not that it's good, but if you have Juan Soto in right field next year, I don't think Met fans are going to care. No, I don't think they're going to care.
Okay.
And you know what? You're going to go out there and I think sign at least one of these big free agent starting pitchers as well next offseason.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast.
I think they're listening to me.
They're everywhere, Dave.
I know you're here.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want.
Woohoo! Over here!
Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
We talked a little bit about it yesterday with expectations, right, for both of these teams. I think that if you're a Met fan, you're maybe some more than others cautiously optimistic. Right, you hope things are going to break a certain way for you, and you might have a season which keeps you entertained long into the summer. And that's all I ask for, right? Because last year was such a debacle, and essentially the Mets played themselves out of contention by the time June 1st rolled around. That I don't think is going to happen this year. If they tread water, that's all you're asking for as a fan, to get you late into the summer at the deadline and see how the front office reacts. You know, Miami, Arizona last year made the playoffs with 83 wins. It is possible to stay relevant that late in the season. Yankees, on the other hand, I think they have larger goals. This is a team that is going all in this year, and you expect to compete for a championship. Now, how likely is that? Got no idea. But for one, I'm a little bit cool on the Yankees. Maybe not as high as some people think that they're going to be this year. Here's Jeff Passan on the ESPN Daily. And you know what? He kind of echoes sort of the same thing that I'm feeling.
I don't have the Yankees making the playoffs this year. Gerrit Cole's elbow. If Gerrit Cole's healthy, they're in. Gerrit Cole's not healthy right now. We have no idea when he's going to come back. His elbow is a mess. There's nerve issues. The UCL is not torn to the point where he can't throw, but it ain't pretty. I hope Gerrit Cole comes back healthy and better than ever. But I know pitchers and I know arms. And generally speaking, when you're missing a few months to begin the season, you may not necessarily come back quite the same. And really any expectation of you coming back is dependent on a really good rehab.
I, for one, cannot sit here with any certainty and think that Gerrit Cole is going to be back on that mound on any given date and not have to miss any more time. And that is going to be thrown into the argument as to why you think the Yankees might come up a little bit short this year.
Right. Well, here's my thought process is even putting Gerrit Cole to the side, right? Not knowing. Because again, I mean, from the people in baseball that you talk to, you hear from, well, we've heard from Buster Olney, now you're hearing from Passan, like that have dealt with issues in the elbow and how it starts and what ends up, you know, where it ends up finishing. It's not great, right? Like, who knows? I'll give Gerrit Cole the benefit of the doubt just because I've talked to a couple different people and they would tell me, like, if you want to show your kid video of how to pitch, show him Gerrit Cole video because of how good his mechanics are, how, like, he's everything about how he throws a baseball, his body, all of it is perfect. So I'll give him the benefit of the doubt that once he gets through this rehab, he'll come back and he'll be pretty damn good. So when baking that into the equation of how I feel about this Yankees team, I still thought at the very least that they would be a wild card team. Having Gerrit Cole out for 2 months, I think probably, I mean, even if Baltimore takes a step back, puts them out of winning the AL East, most likely, in my opinion.
And it happens every year. There's going to be a team that comes out of nowhere that nobody's talking about right now, and they're going to steal a playoff spot away from a team that right now maybe everybody is forecasting that they're going to be playing October baseball. It's inevitable, right?
Yeah, well, it's inevitable. And then when you look at the division that you're in, and the fact that, I mean, yeah, you won 82 games. Baltimore won 101 last season. So even if they take a step back, like, do you have enough to make up the ground that it's going to take? Tampa, I mean, their pitching staff, I mean, decimated with injuries. They still find a way to win 99 games last season. And then you got a really talented Toronto team. And then what's going on in the AL West. So, yeah, you're going to have your hands full. But I got to imagine if with so many ifs, if they stay healthy, if Aaron Judge can stay healthy, that their offense is going to be so much better than it was last season.
It's going to have to be, right?
But it's going to be, isn't it?
If they stay healthy.
Like Aaron Judge, you know what he is when he's healthy. Juan Soto, right? You add Verdugo to left field. You didn't have a left fielder last year. Figure Volpe in year two will be better. First base. I mean, Anthony Rizzo was off to a great start till he got the freak concussion, right? Austin Wells should be hopefully better offensively behind the plate. You got Trevino back. I don't know, man. And then you get Gleyber Torres at second base. That you know what he is, you know what he's capable of doing offensively. Whatever you get from Giancarlo Stanton is going to be just extra. Bullpen will be good. I have a hard time believing. Like, I mean, it goes back to, like, you're sitting here talking about being optimistic as a Mets fan. Well, yeah, because you choose to be optimistic. Because God forbid we have to sit through 162 games where there's no optimism that this team has any chance to be a playoff team. But what, that Luis Severino was just tipping pitches? So him throwing BP last year with how bad he was, that he all of a sudden now is going to be fixed and figure it out?
Isn't it funny that both teams in this city, their offenses may have to carry them for the majority of this season?
Yeah.
But it's possible, I'm saying. I think with both of these teams, if they stay healthy and they perform anywhere near to the back of their baseball cards, I think this team's going to put up numbers. And I think that they're going to be okay. Because remember, back in the day, the Yankees, when I say back in the day, I'm talking, you know, 5-6 years ago, right? They had a lethal offense. There were still some question marks in the rotation, right? Bullpen, though, was rock solid. The back end of that bullpen. That was when Dellin Betances was still like one of the top relievers in baseball. You had Aroldis Chapman here. And it was always about shorten the game. And that was good enough. They were able to club teams all throughout the regular season, get to the playoffs, and that's where they necessarily got into some problems, right? Because maybe the bats would dry up a little bit when you're going up against good pitching in October, and then you didn't have that workhorse that you would be able to rely on to be able to try to win you some low-scoring games. That might have to be the case this year, especially the longer they go without Gerrit Cole. But it's possible, right? I mean, it's possible. And the key to me is Aaron Judge. Can he stay healthy and have an MVP-type season?
Right. Well, he's one of the best players in baseball. And you see the effect he has on this lineup. But I would also say to you, though, I mean, when you... And I know there's questions surrounding the staff, but, I mean, you do have guys that have done it before, that have been, you know, pitched at a high level. Like the reason why you signed Carlos Rodon to the deal that you signed him to, because for the 2 years before you signed him, he was great. Right? He was great. Like he's shown, like he has the ability to be a really good two.
That's what got him paid.
For this team. That's what got him paid. Marcus Stroman had an unbelievable start to the first half of last season. And he fell off in the second half. I get it. Nestor's shown you he has the ability to be a good pitcher in this league. Clark Schmidt was good last season. Like they do, I mean, in their bullpen has been good. So, I mean, when you add this kind of offense, what this offense should be capable of doing, you're talking about having two of the best hitters in the league on your team, batting two and three in your lineup. I mean, you got Juan Soto and you got Aaron Judge in your lineup.
Pick your poison. And imagine what you could potentially get from Stanton this year. I mean, does anybody know what you're going to get from Stanton this year?
No, but you're not relying on Stanton.
How about anything you get as a bonus? Is that fair?
I just said that, yeah. I mean, yeah, and hopefully now with his, you know, he drops some of the muscle and he feels like a baseball player again.
Mobility, flexibility. It's a beautiful thing.
I just don't know why there's such this. I mean, there's a lot of people I hear, too, that are just, I mean, once Gerrit Cole went down, it's like, Yankees are done. No playoffs.
Not the case. I brought up, you know, when that happened, there was a Cardinal team, 2011, I want to say. Adam Wainwright was lost for the season. He was their ace. Adam Wainwright was one of the top pitchers, starting pitchers in baseball back then. It was a long time ago, but he was, you know, top 2-3 in the Cy Young the previous few years. I mean, he was a legit ace pitcher. Lost him for the season. They still won a World Series that year. Still won a World Series.
Well, but look where baseball's at. I mean, we go back to what the Yankees' biggest problem has been in the postseason too. Has been the hitting, not the pitching. Pitching's been good. And I get it. You know, when Gerrit Cole pitched last season, the Yankees were 23-10. That's tough to replace. But I got to imagine this between this offense, the addition of Soto, I mean, outfield, will be better with an actual left fielder playing. I mean, Verdugo was a nice move. I know the DJ LeMahieu stuff kind of stinks, but DJ LeMahieu hasn't been great either.
But I'm worried about that because, you know, he was trending in the wrong direction the last couple of years. And now you're telling me he's starting the season already on the shelf because of another ailment, which who knows if he's going to ever be able to get back on track again this year. I would be concerned. Like, that's a guy right now that I can't have high hopes for just because the back of the baseball card has not been trending in the way you want it to, especially for a guy who's getting up there in years as well.
Like, right,
he was great when they got him.
He was awesome. And Yankees fans would have been...
And we're sitting there saying, how the hell does Colorado let this guy walk out the door? Because it's Colorado.
All right, but he was, I mean, for the first couple of years here, I mean, he was
the great.
Best player in the team. He's
like, well, batting champion.
MVP. And now, I mean, as you get older, too, I mean, obviously, you're not going to stay healthier, and I'm with you, but like, if you power ranked, you know, guys on the Yankees that you were most reliant on, where would DJ LeMahieu fall on that list?
That I was most reliant on? But think about how it changes the outlook, though, if God forbid, or if you possibly ever had this guy back even to even getting close to what he was when he was at his best.
Yeah, but did you really expect that anyway?
For this season?
Yeah.
Before this latest episode about the foot, I had to at least go into the year with somewhat of a clean slate and be optimistic.
Because, yeah, but you didn't
because
feel
how
like
many, you know, here's the scary thing about DJ LeMahieu. Okay, like talking about a guy who, look at the contract and how many more years that he has still on that
contract. Well, that's their own fault. That's their own fault because rather than go a little bit more average annual, they decided to spread it out. It's their own fault. That's what they wanted to do, and now it's gonna bite them in the you know what when they have to eat this. Forget that. I mean, you got Stanton through 2027.
But DJ LeMahieu once upon a time was producing. Three more years, including this season, $15 million a pop. For DJ. That's scary. Let's say hi to Calvin in Washington Heights, who's up next year on 98.7. Calvin, good morning. How are you?
Hey, how you doing? Do you hear me well?
Gotcha, Calvin. What's up?
Good morning. I just wanted to make two quick points. I call the show often, and you saying your top 10 list, I completely disagree that you left, like, Mookie Betts out. You left Jose Ramirez, and you put Corey Seager over Jose Ramirez?
Like, Corey Seager has how many World Series rings and how many World Series MVP trophies?
That's a team effort, and I'm going to say the reason is a team effort. Corey Seager's always hurt. He's actually, Aaron Judge, injury-wise, is more consistent as far as injury-wise.
Corey Seager's a very good player.
Let me say this. Jose Ramirez leads in war. Mm-hmm. Jose Ramirez is more, just because he hits less home runs, is more complete in general. You can't put Corey Seager over Jose Ramirez, and even Manny Machado over Corey Seager.
Calvin, you know why I could do that, Calvin? Because it's my list, and I wouldn't lose any sleep over the list. But it's my list, and I could put whoever I want on the list.
But even Mookie Betts, you left out the top 10 list. And the second point I would like to say, a great caller called is, he called early and said about Juan Soto, about his power hitting. I want people to understand that. Juan Soto is like a hitter like Miguel Cabrera and Albert Pujols in their prime. He's not going to strike out more than 100 times. He only struck out more than 100 twice in his whole entire six seasons or seven seasons he has in the major leagues. And he hits for power, and he's walking about 140 times, something what, like Barry Bonds style that's doing. So he's like a mixture of Albert Pujols, Miguel Cabrera, which is the best hitter in our generation that we're able to see of Juan Soto. So the Yankees is going to get probably amazing numbers. Not probably. I will soon project amazing numbers for Juan Soto. I predict him either MVP or Julio Rodriguez that I believe is going to get 40-40 this year. But I just wanted to, you know, I was talking to the guy that screened the call. He was agreeing with me with Jose Ramirez because you left him out and Mookie Betts. And I just had to call in because I'm like, I couldn't believe that you
left.
Well,
Calvin, you know what? I'm gonna have to have words with the guy who was screening the call. We're going to get to the bottom and find out who that guy was because I'm not going to hear any lip from him. But I will say this, Rick, and we're going to get to this when we come back on the other side. There is an element to Juan Soto, okay, that I don't think is going to go over too well with Yankee fans if the season plays out in a particular way. And I'll tell you what I mean when we return. Opening day 2024, it's DNR. It's Dan and Rick, 98.7 ESPN. Now word from True Green. You ready to elevate your lawn game without breaking the bank? True Green has been the trusted choice for over 2 million homeowners for over 50 years. Visit TrueGreen.com today and discover the easiest and affordable way to achieve a pro-level lawn guaranteed. Plus, enjoy True Green's verified price matching, ensuring you get the best lawn for the best price. Visit TrueGreen.com. Transform your lawn effortlessly. That's TrueGreen.com. Your dream lawn is just around the corner.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices?
And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Looking for more access to the show?
Why? Because you know why.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at DR on ESPN.
On this opening day, hence the natural little baseball theme, let's talk some hoops. We haven't really done a lot of Knicks this morning because, well, just your average ho-hum 44-point thrashing of the Toronto Raptors last night north of the border. Is Toronto another team that puts a sub-professional product out there on the court? And the Knicks were more than happy, Rick, to be the beneficiaries there as they made quick work of them. What do they have, 80 at halftime last night?
That's right, yep.
It was like a video game. Deuce McBride out there shooting the lights out of the basketball right in the first quarter. Mitchell Robinson getting some run. Nice to see him back out on the floor after the 50 games. Everything is coming up roses right now if you're a Knicks fan. And oh, by the way, Cleveland can't get out of their own way still, even though Mitchell's on his way back. But now you wake up this morning as the owner of the number 3 seed in the Eastern Conference.
Yeah, and how important that is.
Huge.
And right there for the 2 seed too. Like right there. I mean, you want to talk about, I mean, how many times did we say once OG went down, once Julius went down, and you already had lost Mitchell Robinson, that, you know, just stay afloat. Just stay afloat until these guys come back, and then once you get whole, once you get healthy, we saw what, you know, in January what this team is going to be capable of doing when they're healthy. I mean, this is above and beyond keeping your heads afloat right now with how this team is playing.
100%. I mean,
that's 7 of the last 8. What Deuce has done, dude, by the way, so I came across this last night, mm-hmm, doing some stuff for the show. So in the 5 games, so Deuce has entered the starting lineup, I think it was like 10 days ago. Okay, so in the 5 games since he's been in the starting lineup, he is averaging almost 22 points a game, almost 4 assists a game with less than a turnover a game. Almost 5 made 3-pointers. He's shooting 55% from the floor, almost 49% from 3, and almost 92% from the free throw line is what Deuce is doing right now.
And he didn't have to play 40-something minutes last night either in doing so, which is nice.
Well, and by the way, he leads the league in minutes in those 5 games.
Yeah, it's insane. It really, and you know, RJ and I were talking about this before the show, so I'll talk about it with you. Do you think that if and when OG is back in there, you leave well enough alone and maybe have OG coming off the bench and you just keep the starting lineup the way it is?
No.
Why?
Why? Because I think you can, when we get to the postseason, it's going to be a whole different,
well,
whole different,
like,
animal.
Look, maybe the starting lineup point is a little overrated. Because remember, it's not necessarily who starts, it's who finishes. And I'm not sitting here suggesting that OG won't be the guy out on the floor during crunch time last 3-4 minutes of the game. You would expect him to. But just to keep that first unit playing the way they are right now, it might not be the worst thing in the world just to leave it alone.
Right. You're also talking about the last couple of games against Detroit and a decimated Toronto team. I mean, these aren't good teams that you're beating. I understand what you're saying, but if this team is going to get where we want them to go, OG's going to be in the starting five. Julius is going to be in the starting five if he comes back.
Now, that's a big one. You want to have a conversation that we need to have? I think that the status of Julius Randle is something that's worth exploring. Because right now, still hasn't been cleared for full contact. Now, the Mitch thing kind of came together rather quickly, right? When we found out that, what was it, last week when they were out on the West Coast, that he was having a contact practice, all was right with the world, and then a week later, he's playing. So, when are we going to get that moment? Are we going to get that moment from Julius Randle before now in the playoffs? Because it'll be here before you know it. A couple more weeks?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to play. I mean, he's not going through all of this to not at least come back and try it. And it's just going to be a question of when he comes back, how he holds up. Because they can, I mean, they can say he's cleared for full contact in practice. Full contact in practice is nothing compared to what full contact in a game is going to be, especially in the postseason when the opposing team knows that you're coming back from a dislocated shoulder. Right? There's a reason why in the NHL we say upper body or lower body, because we don't want teams to know exactly what the injury is. Like, you don't think that... You'd be crazy not to target that if you were playing against Julius Randle in the postseason. Right? Like any chance I have to be physical with him on that right shoulder, I'm going to take it.
1,000%.
Every single time.
1,000%.
And will it hold up? Like the same thing. Like, listen, OG went through all of the same stuff. OG was cleared for contact. Second he comes back, right? All of a sudden extends his arm out, which he wouldn't do in practice, and it flares up again. I think part of what you said is probably true, though, too, is I think they saw how seamlessly OG fit back in when he came back from the surgery and are saying to themselves, we don't need him right now. We'd love to have him, but we don't necessarily need him right now. And we want to make sure that when he does come back, we're past all this, hey, you know, some scar tissue breaks up or whatever it is in the elbow and he's in pain, it flares up and he misses time, because we don't want that. He's back, he's got to stay back. I keep saying that. Once he's back, he's got to be back. Can't be comes back for two games in the playoffs, hyperextends it or something, and now he misses two more games. We can't be doing that.
All right, one thing that the Knicks are automatic about, though, is when they play these bad teams. They beat the bad teams. I think there's something like 24-2 against sub-500 teams this year. Maybe it's even, but it's a remarkable record. They have, I think, 5 of their last 10 against teams with losing records. Okay? Now, Milwaukee, if you want to talk about moving up the ladder a little bit more, you're 2 back in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
And I can't believe we're even sitting here having a conversation about the Knicks maybe even being the 2 seed with everything that they've been through. But Milwaukee's schedule the rest of the way. At New Orleans, and then they have their run of crap teams. At Atlanta, at Washington, Memphis, and Toronto at home. Okay, then you got those 4. Then their last 5 are a little bit tricky. Home Knicks, home Boston, home Orlando, at OKC, at Orlando. Question is how much is Milwaukee actually going to try to go all out and win those games to make sure that they get the 2 seed?
I would imagine you would want the 2 seed, no?
I would think, but again, things are weird up there.
Well, I know things are weird up there, but I think there's also some hope with how Chris Middleton has looked that they have a real shot now. Right? Dame seems to be figuring it out. They're playing better defense. Right? I mean, you got Giannis is still one of the best players in the world. Dame's still one of the best clutch players in the world. I mean, that's a really good team.
But that group, I think, feels that they don't necessarily need home court advantage like all throughout the playoffs to be able to go on a run because they're going to believe in their high-end talent. So, look, in a perfect world, they would like to probably have the 2 seed. But if they fall back to 3, I don't think that they're going to be losing any sleep over because they still like their own chances better than, you know, whoever they'd be going up against.
Well, even if they fall to 3, they're not going to see
Then they avoid Boston just like the Knicks would.
Right.
Until the conference finals.
That's right. I understand what you're saying, but I would think that late in the season, if you have the chance to finish 2 instead of 3, and there's no injury concerns, that you're going to try to go out and win those basketball games.
And let's tell it like it is, too, okay? It's amazing. With all the manpower this team has lost, can we give the freaking coach a little bit more credit than maybe he's getting? I'm talking about like nationwide, league-wide. You watch the team every night, you know how this team is doing it. It's like with smoke and mirrors. And guys coming off the bench who maybe aren't playing big minutes, and all of a sudden they're asked to play a lot of time out on that floor, and they're producing. How about giving Tibbs his roses a little bit? What do you think?
I'm with you. And I think he should be right there for Coach of the Year with what he's dealt with injury-wise and where this team is at. But I think he's also, I mean, I think he falls under that same umbrella that a Julius Randle falls under, that a, you know, Artemi Panarin is going to fall under, is that we know he's a really good coach. Knicks fans know he's a really good coach. Now prove you're a really good coach in the postseason. Most of these calls we take are people complaining that he's playing these guys too much because they're going to wear down in the postseason.
Right. So but it's also not fair if he doesn't have a stacked deck in the postseason either if they fall short, which might happen.
Yeah, which might happen. But I mean, those are the phone calls that we take about Tibbs. It's not phone calls, hey, can we talk about how good, you know, how good a job he's done and what he's turned this team into. It's, no, he's right. Why are these guys playing so many minutes? They're going to be worn down. He did it in Chicago. He's going to do the same thing with us.
16 games over 500 for the first time in, 13 or 11 years, Ray? Something like that. Was it 11 or 13 years, 16 games over 500?
2012, 2013.
Okay, so there you go. 11 years. Unbelievable. And he should be rewarded for that.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.
Got the number one pick in the NHL draft, but the man they can't seem to stump. Do something dumb, that's an observation. CLT make him need to run.
That's Lars Eller!
Cut him every trash, EMT for short. Wonder if we best once you peep the score. Up at the crack of dawn, top stories of the morning. While you're yawning, grab your coffee, rise to shine with 98.7. This is Drop Time. We provide highlights from your favorite teams. Got Dave and Rick making plenty of picks. It's Rule 76.
Oh, yes, indeed. The West Coast Open. It is a thing once again. Wakey, wakey. Eggs and bakey.
And welcome aboard.
He's Rick DiPietro.
And I'm sure little Danny was real productive in those elements.
Oh, come on, Rick.
Damn right.
Yeah, as he's crying. I'm like, Mom, I want to quit because I got a stinger.
That is not very nice, Rick. Come on. But I am Dan Grosso.
Raining. I'll have some oatmeal. Maybe some peanut butter and jelly while I wait out the rain.
Oh, RJ Santillo's also here.
Everyone get you a Raymond in your life like I have.
And he has a Raymond, and so do I. But he has to almost look like a hobo. Hobo Ray is my favorite Ray. Good morning, as always. The companies are with us. Thank you for joining us this morning. We're DiPietro and Rothenberg. DNR, the R&R boys.
Who are you?
I told you, we're Dan and Rick. You can call us whatever the heck you want, but don't call us lazy. Catch us 6 to 10 right here on 98.7 ESPN New York. Number to call is 800-919-3776.
Don't you talk about my Dave.
Well, your Dave might be rigging his March Madness pool. Did you ever think about that? Unbelievable. Final hour that we have planned for you today. But first, no, I just remembered I forgot to pay for my parking. Can't forget that, which I have taken care of today at least. But because we all know if you do,
that was too penal.
Have to mind the penal code, because otherwise they might take my car and then I have to find another mode of transportation.
On this horse carriage, we fight for that inch.
That is right. And if I'm using a horse, you know, that not too far behind is going to be none other than the horse Whistler.
Do horses eat ore?
I have no idea if they do or they don't, but you know what I do know is that it's time to bring in my best friend, Richard DiPietro.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
Don't you love the West Coast Open?
Really well done.
Like I said, Edison, the light bulb, Graham Bell, the telephone, Grasa, West Coast Open.
Well, let's be honest, though. First foray into the West Coast Open, not your best.
No, because it was the initial one.
Right. Not your
good
best.
Thursday morning.
You think the first time that Edison flicked the switch to turn on the light bulb it came on? No.
You make a good point, but I think second turn, fantastic.
That was a great West Coast Open.
It really was.
It really was. So the West Coast Open is a thing, and so is opening day with Major League Baseball. It is here. It is 2024. Now, if you are a New York baseball fan, you get to see one of your two teams today. That'll be the Yankees. They are down in Houston to take on the Stros. Mets rained out. They're going to do it tomorrow. Good for them for calling it a little bit early. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about it over the last couple of days, whether, you know, the opening day has that buzz or not here in the city. Because I think that the baseball fan in this town is, the expectations are maybe tempered a little bit. You know, for whatever reason. You know, the Mets did not have the sexiest offseason, as we know. Yankees, their mood has maybe been tempered a little bit by the Gerrit Cole news that you may not see him for a bulk of the season this year, if at all. But nevertheless, it's good to have it back. And look, I could sit here and make a case for you, Rick, that both teams, everything will come up roses. And we're going to be talking about maybe two teams in contention making the playoffs. Or maybe a realist would say that it might be tough sledding for both of these clubs, given the adversity that they've faced already.
What I think is interesting, though, is the disparity between what some people think the Yankees are going to be this year and what other people think the Yankees are going to be this year. Like, there's a huge difference into, like, what Pecota gave you as opposed to what Baseball Reference has given you. We heard from Jeff Passan saying he doesn't think they're going to make the playoffs. I just saw, you know, Jessica Mendoza talking about they were going to win, you know, more than 91.5 games. Like, There's a huge gap there from what some people think this Yankee season is going to be. I'll tell you this, though. If, for whatever reason, it's, you know, Gerrit Cole doesn't come back, or when Gerrit Cole comes back, he's not that good, or Carlos Rodon doesn't figure it out, offense isn't as good as we thought it would be because there's, you know, they dealt with injuries all season long. If, for whatever reason, the Yankees end up not making the playoffs and the Mets find a way to slide into a wild card? Oh, my goodness.
Well, here's the question. Let's say that scenario presents itself. Do you then think, finally, there would be some changes within the hierarchy of the New York Yankees?
Well, I think there would have to be.
No, we know that there would have to be.
Boone would be gone. I would guarantee that Boone is gone.
Just one of them.
Well, I can't guarantee that Cashman's going to be gone, but I think, I mean, listen, they would have been well within their, Hal would have been well within his right to make that change after what happened last season, if he wanted to.
Because Yankee fans want it yesterday.
Right.
Years ago.
Right. Now they're supposed to be all in. And if all in means that they don't make the playoffs, then yeah, I think they would have to make changes.
A little while ago, we heard from Jeff Passan, who didn't think that the Yankees were going to make the playoffs. And you got to stay tuned for our predictions to see if we think the same thing. But here was a little bit more about Jeff Passan talking about some concerns that he has for this team.
Just their age. Like, it's an old team. Aaron Judge is into his 30s now. Giancarlo Stanton old, Anthony Rizzo old, DJ LeMahieu old. Like, I understand there's an infusion of talent with Anthony Volpe. Austin Wells is going to get some time at catcher. And of course, they traded for Juan Soto. I think he's going to have a monster season. And if anything, it's going to be the Judge-Soto connection that makes me look foolish here. But I just look at the rest of the American League and I think there are better teams out there. And I question the Yankees starting pitching without Cole. Who's going to be the dude? Is it going to be Carlos Rodon? Is it going to be Nestor Cortes? Is it going to be Marcus Stroman? Don't get me wrong. I don't think the Yankees are going to collapse. I think they're going to be better than they were last year. I just think there are other teams in the American League who have a better chance to make the playoffs.
That's, of course, the ESPN Daily Podcast. And look, the East is stacked. The West is stacked. I don't think the Central is obviously not as formidable, but there's some team or some people that think that maybe a team like the Royals could come out of nowhere and surprise this year. I don't know about that. But here's what I will say. He brought up a point there at the very end about I think they'll be better than last year. And I put that scenario out there to you earlier in the week. You won 82 games last year. You kind of save face down the stretch. Remember, this team was playing sub-500 ball for the majority of the year. So they technically finished with a winning record. Is that good enough? Like, let's say the Yankees are better than last year. They win somewhere in the high 80s. But they still don't make the playoffs. Let's say it's a stacked American League. And they win 89 or 90 and are on the outside looking in. Does that warrant change in your opinion?
Well, I think if Hal is true to his word, then yeah, it would warrant change. You're supposed to be all in. I mean, last time I checked, all in meant to not only make the playoffs, but potentially win a World Series, right?
All right, how about this? 89-90 wins.
Yep.
Miss the playoffs. You don't have Cole basically the whole season. So there's your built-in excuse. But you still perform above your skis, but just miss out. Change or no change?
Oh.
And you know what? I'll even throw in one of your big position players that you count on. He also misses a bulk of the time. But team is in the race. You just miss out. You making change at the end of the year?
What would I do, or what do I think Hal would
both
do? Well, I think Hal would probably lean on the fact that you had no Garrett Cole for the season, and whoever the big-time player, if it's Jim Judge misses a bunch of time, that you could use those as excuses. But that's not how Yankees fans will feel. Yankees fans are all set. I mean, Yankees fans would have been happy if Brian Cashman was fired after last season. And they started over. So I don't care. I don't think it's going to matter to Yankees fans who was hurt or who wasn't or how many wins they have. If they don't make the playoffs for a second straight year, they're going to want change.
And Boone has a club option on his contract for next year. So you could almost kind of make the case that he's a lame duck. He's going to have to produce if he wants to run it back next year as the manager of this team. Now, again, managers could do really, really good work, but they don't necessarily always keep their jobs. I mean, look at what happened to Joe Girardi, for crying out loud, right? Joe Girardi had the best season managing for the New York Yankees since they, you know, went to the World Series the last time. He got it to Game 7 of the ALCS and was said, you know, thanks for the memories, and they brought in Aaron Boone and haven't reached those heights since. So I don't know what it's going to take. I would like to think that you'd probably have to find your way into the postseason if you want to bring both of these guys back, just given how Hal and his mentality has been with this group.
Well, especially with the uncertainty of what's going to happen next year, right? Like, I mean, is Soto going to re-sign here? Right? I mean, look at the amount of free agents you're going to have after the season. Not to mention the fact that you're going to end up burning another year of Judge's prime and Garrett Cole's prime. Passan's not wrong. Like, this is an older team, and you're going to have to hope that, you know, the Anthony Volpes of the world have a really good sophomore season, that Austin Wells behind the plate can add something offensively. If Verdugo's going to have a big year. Offensively, dude, they were. I mean, when you look at their numbers offensively last year, they were brutal.
Yeah,
they were brutal. I mean, you had the second worst batting average. You were 25th in runs. Like, that's not good enough. Especially when you look at the East and you look at the AL West. You're going to need to be better than that, and I think you can be better than that, and they will be better than that. But I'm still concerned about Carlos Rodon. I am. And it's not so much just performance. It's also potentially mentality with him. Like, I don't know. Could he end up being one of those guys that just can't handle New York?
It's possible.
Because he's real combative with the Yankees fans. And it's crucial for him to get out to a good start. If he does not get, especially with the pressure on him now, not having Garrett Cole, like, he's just that passing ass, who's going to be the dude? Well, I'll tell you who should be the dude, because you're paying him to be a dude, is Carlos Rodon. And if he gets off to a slow start, he is going to hear it from New York Yankees fans. And I can't imagine him responding well to that.
You had a rotation littered with question marks, not named Garrett Cole. Now you take Garrett Cole out of the mix, and it's all question marks. That's all it is. And yeah, so that is dicey
much,
going into
the season. That's pretty much what it is.
It's extremely dicey going into the season. And then you throw in the fact that you have somebody like DJ LeMahieu, who's already coming off of maybe a downward turn. He's banged up here to start the season. So Aaron Boone was asked yesterday, is the DJ LeMahieu injury short-term or not?
I mean, I hope so, but I don't know, because I wouldn't say he got shut down. I would just say, as we ramped up into, I know he went out for some ground balls that one day, it wasn't great, you know, so it's in that, you know, pain is still in there. So we want it to kind of be things that you're able to tolerate. So whether that turns into hitting and fielding in a couple days, I don't know. But I know where he went out the other day and tried that, it wasn't good enough.
I'm curious to hear from the realistic Yankee fan. Okay, the realistic one, who could be objective, what are the expectations for this team? I don't want to hear about its championship or bust, because that's the Yankees. Realistic, given the fact that you haven't won a World Series in 15 years, haven't been there since, what should the expectations be for this club in 2024? That's what I want to know.
At the very least, they're playoffs. At the very least. You can think it's going to be too hard, especially, I think with Cole, the expectation would have been to win the AL East. But now without Cole, I can understand that. I mean, look at the ground you're trying to make up, even if Baltimore takes a step back. I mean, Baltimore won 101 games. You won 82 last season.
Right.
So,
and this is one of those things. And I think, obviously, Baltimore's better. But Toronto lost a couple of pieces in the offseason. That talent has not manifested itself yet. You could call them almost underachievers. This would be the year where maybe you think Tampa could be, I say could, be a little vulnerable. Given the injuries and stuff that they have with their starting rotation, remember, they trade Glass now. You still got a couple of those guys on the way back from Tommy John surgery. So maybe the Rays are ripe for the taking. And now here come the Yankees going into the season without Garrett Cole, not knowing where your rotation is going to be.
Right, that's right. And I think one of the things that you would point to with this team is that every fifth day you had Garrett Cole. And what that does for, I mean, what that does for you when he pitches, you're 23-10 when he pitches, and what that also does for your bullpen. That's the other thing you take into account too, right? I mean, As much as I believe that this Yankees offense is going to be better, and I think you feel the same way, at a certain point, if you do have, you know, a rotation with a bunch of question marks and those guys don't, you know, step up and someone doesn't, you know, grab the reins and be that guy, then, I mean, at what point are we saying, are we having the conversation like Yankees are using the bullpen too much? They're already worn out. They're already worn out. Because, I mean, that feels like a conversation that a lot of these teams have with how baseball is managed these days, or how the front office is doing.
Right. Yeah, and look, you could call the glass half full. I just don't think the Yankees are sunk right now because the uncertainty with Garrett Cole. He was the best pitcher in baseball last year. He was dependable, durable, and you still had the worst season you've had in three decades. Jacob deGrom was the best pitcher on the planet for a few seasons with the Mets. They lost more of the games that he started than they won, and they never made the playoffs during the peak of his powers there. So I think we're making too much over just one pitcher's absence that it could derail your season. Not in baseball. It's not. You had the best two players on the planet in the same lineup for how many years out in Anaheim, and they won squat.
Well, look at how loaded. I mean, look at how loaded the lineup was in San Diego last season, right? I mean, at San Diego, the Padres lineup was loaded.
Yep,
and it amounted to nothing. Just look at the runs that the Yankees scored last year compared to what the, you know, better teams in Major League Baseball scored. I mean, it's not even close. In Baltimore scored 807 runs last season. The Yankees scored 673. That is a huge difference.
We got our sim coming up here in just a bit. Let's get some calls, though, Rick. A lot of people want to chime in here. Opening day baseball. Ken in Connecticut next up here on 98.7. Kenny, good morning. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. So, you know, as an elitist Yankee fan, I wrote a haiku about how I feel about this upcoming season.
Let's hear it.
All right. 90 wins. Just sad. High injured list, my old friend. Enjoy Juan. He gone.
I like it.
And realistic expectations, Dan, what you were just saying, like, Yes, the playoffs are always, every single season. That's the expectation. And that's still, to me, like, overall might still be that as well. But, I mean, the Cole injury, you don't know whether that could galvanize the team and just, like, maybe that propels them to, close to 100. Maybe they falter and it's, an 88. It's just impossible to tell at this point.
There's different ways to skin a cat nowadays in Major League Baseball. And Kenny, thanks for the phone call. Great job with the haiku. You look at the way the Tampa Bay Rays have gone about their business, bullpenning, mixing and matching. I mean, you look around baseball, there's teams that are successful, Rick, that don't even have five legitimate starting pitchers. There's different ways you can win. It's there. But I brought up the St. Louis Cardinals earlier in the show, the 2011 team that won a championship without Adam Wainwright, who was their ace. Previous 2 years, Adam Wainwright won 39 games the previous 2 years. 39 games. He finished third and second in the Cy Young Award. And they didn't have him all of 2011. They won a World Series. It could be done.
Yeah, I know it could be done. I just have a hard time believing that if Gerrit Cole doesn't come back, they can win a World Series. But I'm with you as far as I think, they can still be a playoff team.
Subi in Midtown up next. What's up, Subi? Good morning.
Hey, Dan. Looking back on Yankee seasons of the past, they were going on these win streaks of 10 games like a couple of weeks in a row. So I just want to say that to get to 90 wins, you're going to have to go on these large win streaks. And the key thing here is Gleyber's on his last year of his contract. You're going to have to get a relief pitcher and a starting pitcher for him sometime this year, because the offense will be there. But if the pitching, if you don't get 200 innings pitched from two or three pitchers, you're going to have a big problem, because that's usually the winning formula for all Major League Baseball teams. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong, Sue, but thanks for the call. And Rick, we don't know how the season's going to play out, but if we're sitting there late July, Yankees are in the mix, and they need to go out there and fill a hole, if you want to say, let's just for argument's sake, pitching, right? Whether it's a bullpen arm, whether it's a starter, and they're stacked offensively, perhaps maybe a guy like Gleyber is expendable. Right? If it's going to help you out more than just keeping Gleyber, maybe.
Well, he's been the name that you've heard, right? I mean, there was a deadline where we thought he was getting traded. They ended up keeping him.
Almost a little surprising he's still on the team, right? Because we thought maybe he'd be gone in the offseason, so he was their, like, big chip.
I think this is more part of, like, the we're going all in thing. And if it's not working out, then he would be the guy. Or if it is working out offensively and we need to upgrade the pitching staff, he would be someone that we could move off of. But, I mean, he offensively is a proven commodity at second base. Right. So if you're all in, yeah. I mean, would it suck to get through the season and then you lose him for nothing? Because are you going to pay Gleyber Torres big money? If you're the Yankees, probably not.
Depends on what kind of year he has, too.
Yeah, but I can't. Can you see them giving him a long-term deal here?
I don't know.
Yeah, I would lean no right now.
Probably not. But again, what if he has like an MVP type season? I mean, once upon a time, this guy looked like he was an MVP in the making.
Well, look at the money you have spent already. I mean, are you going to give him what he's looking for?
Well, I don't know what he's looking for.
Well, if he has an MVP caliber season, you have a pretty good idea what he's going to be looking for.
Well, look at the market in this particular offseason. Guys are not getting paid if your name isn't Shohei Ohtani, as far as like multiple years, blockbuster, long-term contract type deals.
Yamamoto got paid.
Well, I mean, he's a pitcher.
I understand it. But if Gleyber Torres has an MVP caliber season, then he's going to be looking for an amount of money that I don't know if the Yankees are going to be willing to pay.
Probably not. Perfect world, probably not. Especially I don't think they're going to be swimming in the Juan Soto waters, but you never know. Let's see what happens when we play out this season.
Thanks for listening to the DPetro and Rothenberg podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN New York app, or on your smart speaker by asking it to play 98.7 ESPN.